Prince Roger's Strange Little Story. Beauty was lifted to her feet roughly by Mistress Lockley, who, twisting Beauty's wrists behind her back, forced her out the back door into a large grassy yard of heavy-limbed fruit trees. In an open shed on smooth wooden shelves, half a dozen naked slaves slept as deeply and easily, it seemed, as they had in the more sumptuous slaves' hall in the castle. But a crude woman, with her sleeves rolled up, had another slave standing in a hogshead of soapy water, the slave's hands tethered to an overhanging tree branch. The slave was being scrubbed by the woman as coarsely as if he was salted meat for supper. Almost before she knew what was happening, Beauty had been forced to stand in such a tub, the soapy water swirling about her knees. And as her hands were tied to the branch of the fig tree above, she heard Mistress Lockley call for Prince Roger. At once the prince appeared, upright this time, with a scrubbing-brush in his hand, and he went to work on Beauty immediately, covering her with the warm water and scrubbing at her elbows and her knees, and then at her head, as he turned her this way and that very rapidly. It was all necessity here, and there was no luxury to it. Beauty winced as the brush scrubbed between her legs, and she moaned when the harsh bristles ground at her welts and bruises. Mistress Lockley was gone. The heavy woman had spanked the poor whimpering scrubbed slave back to bed and disappeared herself into the inn, and the yard, save for the sleeping ones, was empty. "Will you answer me if I speak?" Beauty whispered. The prince's dark skin was waxy smooth against her own as he tilted her head back and poured the pitcher of warm water over her hair. He had cheerful eyes now that they were alone. "Yes, but be very careful. We'll be sent off for public punishment if we're caught, and I loathe amusing the common louts of the town at the public turntable." "But why are you here?" Beauty said. "I thought I came with the first slaves to be sent down from the castle." "I've been in the village for years," he said. "I scarcely remember the castle. I was sentenced for sneaking off with the princess. We hid for 2 full days before they found us." He smiled. "But I'll never be summoned back." Beauty was shocked. She remembered her stolen night near the Queen's very bedchamber with Prince Alexei. "And what happened to her?" Beauty asked. "Oh, she was in the village for a while, and then she went back to the castle. She became a great favourite of the Queen. And when it was time for her to be sent home, she remained to live here as a lady." "You can't be speaking the truth," Beauty said in amazement. "Oh, yes, she became one of the court. She even rode down to see me in her new finery and asked if I should like to come back and be her slave. The Queen would allow it, she said, because she promised to punish me quite hard and drive me relentlessly. She'd be the wickedest mistress a slave ever had, she said. I was quite stunned, as you can well imagine. Last time I'd seen her, she was naked, turned over her master's knee. And now she rode a white horse and wore a gorgeous gown of black velvet trimmed in gold, and her hair was braided with gold, and she was ready to have me packed naked over her saddle. I broke and ran away from her, and she had the captain of the guard bring me back, and she paddled me over her horse right out in the square before a crowd of the villagers. She enjoyed herself immensely." "How could she do such a thing?" Beauty was outraged. "Did you say she wore her hair in braids?" "Yes," he said. "I hear she never wears it free. It reminds her too much of when she was a slave."
"She's not Lady Juliana."
"Yes, that's exactly who she is. How did you know?"
"She was my tormentor at the castle, my mistress, as surely as the Crown Prince was my master,"
Beauty said. How well she could see Lady Juliana's lovely face and those thick braids. How often had Beauty run from her paddle along the bridle path.
"Oh, how dreadful of her," she said. "But what happened after that? How did you manage to escape her?"
"I told you I broke and ran from her, and the captain of the guard had to bring me back. It was clear I was not ready to return to the castle." He laughed. "She begged and pleaded for me, I'm told, and promised to tame me herself with no help from anyone."
"Monster," Beauty said.
The prince dried her arms and her face. "Step out of the tub," he said, "and be quiet. I think Mistress Lockley is in the kitchen." Then he added in a whisper, "Mistress Lockley wouldn't let me go, but Juliana isn't the first slave to remain and become a terror.
Maybe some day you will face the choice and suddenly have the paddle in your hands and all those naked bottoms at your mercy. Think of it, he said, his dark face crinkling with a good-natured laugh. Never, Beauty gasped. Well, we must hurry. The captain's waiting. The image of Lady Juliana, naked with Roger, flared bright in Beauty's mind. How she would love just once to turn Lady Juliana over her knee. She felt a hard stirring between her legs. But what was she thinking? The mere mention of the captain caused in her an immediate weakness. She had no paddle in her hands, and no one at her mercy. She was a bad, naked slave, about to be sent to a hardened soldier with an obvious taste for rebels. And envisioning that sun-browned, handsome face and the deep, gleaming eyes, she thought, "If I'm such a bad girl, then I shall act like one."